7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome to this week's edition of Skip the Tutorial, the number one video game podcast in H-Town. I am one of your hosts, Bryant Chris Paul Daniels. And joining me this week across the universe on Skype is none other than Todd ESG Fortner. What's going on,
South
man?
South still holding.
Woo!
South side still holding. What's up, brother?
Oh, not much. Coming in from the dirty third, man. The dirty third. I wish. it's been a long time. A
beautiful day in the neighborhood, bro.
Yes.
A beautiful day in it.
Yes, it is, man. So if you don't know who we are, we're a video game podcast. What we do is we get together every week and we talk about, well, video games. Last week, if it was your first time joining us, that was a bit of a one-time special edition of a movie review. Those will be happening every time Marvel releases a movie because we over here at Skip the Tutorial love Marvel. But what we usually do is we talk about the games we've been playing. We talk about the news, and then we either have a roundtable or a top seven. This week is a top seven. Todd, what's our top seven this week?
Top seven is going to be favorite stories in video games. Just the favorite ones that you know, opened our eyes or had an immersive experience, if you will.
An immersive experience, bringing it to the forefront. Stuff that stuck with us.
Yeah.
It's stuff that stuck with us. It's stories that, like, made an impression, if you will. In some form or some way. But other than that, we're going to start with the first segment where we talk about the games we've been playing. And we got a special thing for this first segment we're going to get into. But first, let's talk about me and you both, Todd. We played the demo for Detroit Becoming Human.
Yeah.
It's the David Cage game. If you don't know who he is, he's the creator of Heavy Rain. And he's a weird dude.
It's the game that was made for androids to play. I'm sure androids will have a wonderful time with this game.
I can't argue.
Altered Carbon, maybe.
Yeah, okay. Anybody who's from the universe of Altered Carbon would probably love this game. It was different, man. It was weird. So basically, the scenario in the game is that you're playing as an android, I guess, negotiator who's come to a hostage situation where another android has gone kind of haywire, and you get to work your way through the decisions in the game and, like, see the different scenarios. The question is, and I have this for you, Todd, do you feel like this is really a game, or is this more of a choose-your-own-adventure sort of thing that we're living in this type of game?
It's a beautiful choose your own adventure, but I mean, once again, you know, maybe I'm biased a little bit because I just don't like these games too much, just through the history of them. Not a Heavy Rain fan. I wasn't. That ship went ahead and sailed on right by me. Alan Wake, I never really enjoyed that game. I never played that one, actually, even at all. Like, I tried Heavy Rain for a moment, but it's just harder for me to get into those games. Now, obviously, people support these games. There is a genre for it, and I can see how a person could enjoy these games if they're just extremely into the story and not necessarily having to feel any kind of gameplay aspects of it, then great. The graphics were on it are beautiful. I think it would have hit me more if I hadn't just finished God of War. So, you know, putting it up against God of War, I was like, this would have been really great to see, and I might have had even more of a positive experience with it if I hadn't just finished, you know, graphically the best game on the system. I think right now it's kind of hard to top that one. So, I mean, I don't even want to spend a whole bunch of time talking about it. But, you know, for those who's going to like it, I'm sure if you're into that type of game, it's a great kind of game. Yeah. I'm just not. It's not my personal preference.
Yeah, I mean, I played through Heavy Rain in a day, and I've played through a few other things. Sort of like that, and I don't know, I like more interaction with my games. I mean, I did play through Heavy Rain, and I enjoyed the story, but we've talked about this before, I read. So if I want to just enjoy a story, I'm just going to read a book. Like,
there you go.
I mean, I don't need the graphics, or I'm going to go watch a movie. But people who like this sort of thing, yeah, they're going to like this game. And, I mean, for its type of game, what I can say, and I'm not one to judge, because I don't like these kind of games usually, But for its type of game, I think it's very well done. I think it's beautiful. Yeah. I mean, I think it looks good. I thought it had some cool things, like when you were actually investigating a scene and you had to hold down to recreate what happened and you actually got to see it in the mind of the android. But I just wanted to touch on that because that was a big demo that dropped and people were going to be talking about it. So, you know, we definitely wanted to get that information out there that we did try it and, you know, skip the tutorial. We try things. We'll try anything. That's the thing. We will.
No. Brian, I won't try anything. Don't put that out there because
any video game, any video game. That's what I meant.
Nope, not that either. And I'll go back to our early episodes. Some of the games that were brought up, I'll never try those damn games in my life. Especially those.
Fair enough.
You know the ones, ones that burst the Dragon Kiss Bukkake.
Yes.
But
yeah, those
maybe,
particular.
I don't know. I'd play that game.
Here's the thing, though. I will never play a Japanese dating simulation game. That is just not my thing. That's not my thing. I got no interest. No offense. Hey, you know what? If there's one out there that you guys can tell me about that's really good besides Hideful Boyfriend, who I did play, which was, you know, more because that was a goof. It started out as a Japanese simulator where you were dating a pigeon, and then you end up trying to go down to the gates of hell and beat people. So it was weird. It was just a weird thing. Yeah.
Pigeons in hell are kind of cool. Maybe that's why Mike Tyson used to have pigeons. It all comes together now. And he lost to Buster Douglas in Japan.
Oh.
It all comes together like booty cheeks, bro.
It does.
It comes together like booty cheeks. Like, that's crazy.
So what you're saying is Mike Tyson created Hideful Boyfriend. That was his. There it is. There it is. Anyway, moving on. I know you had a couple other things you've been messing around with this week a little bit. I kind of wanted to get into that. So what have you been playing on this week?
Well, actually, can I bring something up? Because I just heard the Star Wars real quick. I know it's out of order, but I thought it was cool that Star Wars just played on your end. And it was just May the 4th. Like, I think that's just the universe speaking to you, and that's dope.
It is. It's telling me I need to watch Star Wars tonight, I think.
Yeah, like, and unfortunately, you know, I haven't really been playing anything too much new. I was looking for some new stuff. In light of that, you know, we'll get into what I've been playing. Of course, we're gonna talk about it in depth. But I came across on Steam the overall Star Wars sale. And for me personally, I've referenced it before, but the Force Unleashed, came out. I think it's like $6.75 right now.
Yeah.
Sale. I think Star Wars stuff is just on sale across the board.
It is.
That was one that stuck out on Steam for me, man, because that is the one game that out of all the Star Wars games that I've had the honor to play, as far as being a Jedi or a Sith or whatever, the fight mechanics were and still my favorite, like much better than Battlefront could ever be type of thing for me. So that, I think, came out 2010. That's like a game I'll probably fuck around the day before the end of the day and just, I need to have it.
Yeah.
It's not even. Right, just to do some stuff.
Well, other when you use that, the Force in that game, like there's no game they've shown where you can use the Force and it just feels so good. It just feels good to throw people around.
Yep, ships, people. It's the goodness. But other than that, I mean, you know, same old rotation, man. I fell back into the rotation. This, I guess, is that time of year until Spider-Man comes out and Red Dead Redemption 2. I'll be looking for some hidden jewels or working on my backlog. So just going back to games I haven't had a chance to really play a whole lot and deal with. I'm really still digging into God of War. We'll talk about that, you know, and get into that just because I'm interested to get your opinion now that we both have beaten it in its entirety. And I'm still only like 37% through the game. But other than that, you know, a little bit of 2K.
Yeah.
And I went back to Dragon Ball FighterZ, man. I wasn't playing when it came out in January. That is my shit, bro. That game is the shit. I had a partner come up, you know, man, a fellow podcaster from Speak Between the Lines, and he was talking about the two games that he should get or whatever, and it was God of War and Dragon Ball FighterZ because that's just the angles we come from. So I think I saw something about Vegito being a new downloadable character.
Really?
That
would be cool.
I didn't. That's really what spurred me to get back on the game too. I'm not gonna lie, I was like, is he ready yet? But I didn't dig off into the news enough to figure out actual release dates and everything, but it seems to be confirmed. put it up on the page. But that's all it took for me to get back into the game and get right back on the horse. And oh man, that game is just so dope, bro.
It really is, man. It's one of these. I don't know. I haven't played much of it outside of the beta, but everything I hear about it, like just the dev support from Bandai Namco, and how they're just putting so much behind this, and they're really striving to make this generation's like standout fighting game. And they're doing a hell of a job, because this is crossing boundaries too. People are talking about this who don't talk about fighting games. I mean, you had Tekken 7 come out last year, which was huge in the fighting community, but it never crosses boundaries. But Dragon Ball FighterZ did. And it's because of Bandai's work into it. You can tell they love their property. You can tell they love that they're working on this thing and that they're willing to put the effort into it.
It's still just a lot of fun. I'm telling you, just picking it up. You can tell they're getting a lot of support. I haven't had a lot of issues with the server coming back to it. You know, by this time, if it wasn't being supported, that would be a major gripe I would have. But yeah, that's where my gaming hours have been going, man. I mean, you know, the NBA playoffs are going on, so
yeah,
I have to make time for that. I know.
My hockey finals are going on right now. We got the Stanley Cup finals going on, so I've been watching some of that.
I'm glad you brought that up. Synergy, sir. Mm-hmm. Sidebar. So, is your team still in the playoffs?
No, they didn't make
because
the playoffs.
Because you did not play Battlefront 2, motherfucker. I told you to have bad luck.
How did I know it would come back to this?
I told you. Be careful, man. You're cursed.
I got to break the curse. I play Battlefront 2.
You
got
to play the damn game, bro.
I play Battlefront 2.
I was like, damn, I'm getting my game back. I don't even like that, but I need to get it back just because.
All right, I'm going to play it. I'm going to play the single player.
Run through that disrespectful game.
I'm going to. I'm going to run through that disrespectful son of a bitch. All right,
but that's all I've been having, man.
Say this, though. My backup team is in the playoffs right now. So I'm still watching because the Vegas Knights are killing it. And they're killing
it. You just cursed them, too. You just cursed. Something's going to happen. Star players' legs are going to break tonight. Watch out. Be careful.
Jamie Benn's going to have another core surgery before the end of this because of me. I've been playing a little bit, man. Like, we talked about this earlier in the week, though, but after God of War and Avengers back-to-back, I was done for a while. I was like, I need a breathe. I need a breather. Like, I'm done for a minute. It was just too good. Both things back-to-back was... You ever get that where it's just so much goodness and so much greatness that everything else just has this, like... filmy quality to it. It's just not nearly as good or shiny or pretty, and I just couldn't. So I took a break for a few days, but I started playing again on Thursday. Got back into Red Dead Redemption after the trailer. We'll talk a little bit about the trailer here on the news segment, but the story, I'm coming towards the end of it, so I'm giving everybody an update on that. I'm almost in the end game of Red Dead, and if you have not played the Xbox One enhanced version of this, please go play it. If you have an Xbox One and you have $20 and you've never played Red Dead, or you want to look at Red Dead in a whole new light, go pick this thing up. You can buy it at Walmart for $20. You can buy it on the store for $20. And if you've got an Xbox One S or an Xbox One X, they do enhance it. And it looks freaking beautiful. There's still some funny glitches in it because it's a Rockstar game. And occasionally with those big games, you got those glitches. So last night, I don't know if you remember the character Ricketts when you get down to Mexico, the gunslinger, the old gunslinger dude that you meet.
Yep.
I was doing the last mission with him last night, and we all sat down at a table, and some random NPC just sat on Ricketts' lap the entire time he was talking, and he was just drinking Ricketts' drink, and I was like, okay, dude, this is... I captured video of it, so I'm going to have to put it up later on the Facebook page. That shit was funny.
Yeah, and I'm trying to look. Is Ricket is the one you initially? It's like you challenge him to a duel. It's like almost like a tutorial portion in it. Is that the one? Do I remember that? He's the older cat.
He's the older dude. Like, yeah, you don't challenge him to a duel though, but he approaches you to try to teach you how to use the gunslinger.
That's
technique.
What it is.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's what it's not the duel. I'm with you. A whole.
You shoot
100%.
The bottles. You shoot the bottles.
Yeah, the bottles. That's what. Because you come to the new town, and he's not like a sheriff, but he's like everybody knows that he's the local gunslinger.
Yeah.
And he's that motherfucker. He teaches you that new trick. Yeah, and that's when the game gets. Yeah, you're right at the end.
Yeah, I'm right towards the end of that. Like, I got, like, I think 3 or 4 more missions left. I'm probably going to beat it today.
Okay.
I'm just going to slam down and beat that sucker today. Other than that, I went back to God Eater 2 Rage Burst, and I wanted to get more into this because I fell off of Monster Hunter, and I really need to get back into it because there's been a lot of crazy updates to that that I want to experience, including, you know, getting the Devil May Cry outfits, the Mega Man outfits, all of the stuff they're throwing at that game. And they just update that thing regularly. I mean, now it's to the point where I think I looked at the patch, and for me to update it and play it, it's going to be like a 12 gigabyte update, which is a lot. That's a lot of content added, and I'm ready to get back into it. But I wanted to get my fix last night while my wife was playing on the PS3 because she's been playing, what is that game? We talked about it, Resistance. She's been playing Resistance
1 and 2, y'all got them?
Yeah, so she's been playing that. Cool choice. I got on the laptop, and I decided to play God Eater 2 Rage Burst. And, you know, that's still fun. God Eater 3 is coming to the PS4. If you like Monster Hunter and you've enjoyed your experience, look out for God Eater coming out to the PS4. I think God Eater 2 is on the PSP on sale right now. They got a huge sale going on the Sony network. So they've got a lot of that going on. And the last but not least, before we get on to the main point of the first segment today, is I finally tried Destiny 2 because it will be in Humble Bundle's subscription package for May. So coming out in May, this package, or June, coming out in June, Destiny 2 is going to be in that. If you want in on that, you can go get sign up for it right now. It's $12 a month. You get $100 worth of games every month. I do it because you get a whole lot of good stuff. But Destiny 2, finally got that, finally got my hands on it. I'll say this about Destiny 2, outside of some of the criticisms we have on the loot boxes and stuff, it's a solid shooter. It is a solid shooter.
Yeah.
It looks good. It's a pretty freaking game, and it plays good. And if you're going to play it, this is kind of the way to do it because you can get the whole thing for $12. And I think if you subscribe this month, you'll get not only Destiny 2 if you pay ahead, but you also get Dead Rising 4 for the PC, and you get a whole bunch of other stuff for like $24 total if you do both packages. So it's really not a bad deal. But I like it. But this is the point of the first segment. We want to talk more about God of War because me and you have both finished the game. This is going to be a full-on spoiler review, spoiler talk. Todd, I want to get your thoughts on the final thoughts on God of War. Last time we talked, we both loved it. We both came away with high praises for it. What is your thoughts now on God of War, now that you finished
it? All right. We already rated it, so it's already a 10 out of 10 for us, too. It's not like we're geniuses. Everybody agrees on that for the most part. It's like I kind of almost want to be contrarian just to be that guy. Well, it's a 9.63 because it didn't tickle my fancy. On, you know, whatever. Nah, it's a 10 out of 10. Like, it's
9.63. Yeah. Those sons of bitches with their decimals.
You know, it's just, it wasn't quite there. It didn't quite.
I see him pushing up his glasses at the same time. Worst axe throwing ever.
Now, you know, what was it that you told me about the take that people would, it was like a masculine, what was it that you said about it?
It was an article over on Vice. I think it was Vice that said that God of War was a toxic male fantasy. And it was very dangerous because the men in the game, it was just, there wasn't enough female representation. Bro, I don't even want to get into that really because that is a ridiculous take on that game. That is an absolutely ridiculous take on that game.
And that guy probably still rated it a 9.63. That's how likely. I feel about it. Yeah. And I have confirmed, okay, I got young Kratos on the right side of my calf. I'm getting old Kratos on the left side of my calf. I'm going to get it. That's how, I love them tattoo enthusiasts as well. And it's going to represent what I wanted to represent. The game is just automatically for me, just like I'm biased against Detroit Becoming Human, that type of game. I'm also biased towards any kind of God of War game. Anybody needs to listen to this, needs to know that on everyone. And randomly, again, anybody who's listening, we appreciate the fuck out of you, but y'all are the dopest and makes this the dopest. And a lot of y'all will probably fuck with God of War too.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I know that's kind of scatterbrained-ish, man, but that's what God of War does for me. It just puts me in an appreciative place. And anybody that can share that rage with me, you are part of the tribe and the family, sir. That's what God of War did. It bringing me together even closer with like-minded folks that just like to have quality shit and, you know, got full hearts and ready to enjoy a fantasy adventure that's really super dope. But as far as just the game itself, the ending is, to some people, I believe, might be a bit of a letdown. For me, it felt like a new beginning, so it was great. You know, like when you tried not to tell me that the son was Loki, you know.
Yeah.
It still was cool. Like, it was just a cool level to it, and it just brings a different level to the story to me after the completion of the main story. Because now your son, you're carrying him around in the back of your head. It's like, shit, he's Loki, though.
Yeah, you know what he's going to grow up to be in your mind. I mean, you could teach him, but he's still the trickster. I mean, Loki is that dude.
And it's hilarious because his father is now fucking Kratos. Like, that's ridiculous to me. You know what I mean? And the fact that you can't go to all the realms. You know what I mean? At first, I thought that was going to burn me up a little bit, but it doesn't feel incomplete. And I haven't even gotten as far as in it as my girl has, in all sincerity. Once again, she falls in love. I call her my little Valkyrie killer now. I think she's killed like four of them. Like, I watched her. It's just like, I got a ritual for her now. Like, it's crazy. You know what I'm saying? But just all the missions that's still in it, the fact that, you know, you releasing the dragons, bro.
Yeah, you're pulling the Cisco on them. You gotta unleash the dragon.
Can unleash that. Yeah, that's right. Unleash the dragon.
Yeah, Cisco, if you're out there, retweet this. Retweet this, Cisco.
But it's just, I think it's something that it's worth coming back and talking about more so in depth, simply because I think it's going to be more and more rare experience to have these types of experiences. I expressed that previously. I'm going to restate that even further at this point. Because it's going to be hard to make a game like this where you don't have to have any DLC, or you don't have to have any multiplayer games, or you don't have to have 15 different Kratoses running around trying to kill each other in a battle royale style.
Yeah.
And that's something worth something. It's rare that you get a game that pulls you away from every other game, because I still wanted to go back and play Far Cry a little bit. Honestly, I really need to do that. Shout out to that boy, Will.
That's, you know, right.
He told me to finish it up, but, you know, God of War kind of has been taking my gaming time. Like,
it did it to me too.
Yeah, so, and that's the thing. So just to go back to you, like, what did you take from it now that it's over? Like, what's your main points that kind of stuck with you, and how you feeling about it?
My main review of it, my main point, I guess, that stuck with me is that, you know, there is this long-form discussion on single-player versus multiplayer games, and you've got these concepts where developers are really trying to jam in multiplayer concepts and ideas, and now it's Battle Royale. That's the new one. Battle Royale stuff is taking over multiplayer. If you look at the news, that's all you see, is how different games are going to try to implement Battle Royale. But when you have a developing studio that focuses on one thing, not spreading their focus on a video game to too many different areas of interest, and they were focused on God of War with telling a story, and not just telling a story through, because a lot of the times you have the problem with some of these adventure fantasy games is that they try to give you the story through a lot of prose, or a lot of reading, or a lot of text. And I don't know about you, Todd, there's not a lot of games outside of something like The Witcher 3, which I took time to read the text and actually figure out the lore of the story. God of War did it in a very clever way. You carry your head around with you, Fimir. You've got your boy talking, asking questions to Fimir. He's telling stories. You're getting lore. You're getting the whole story through conversation. And that is fascinating to me, that you're getting that. There's no flashbacks. There's no ultra narrative running over. The cutscenes are seamless. And they focused on actually delivering a great story with great action and great engagement and a lot of really cool little characteristics and tone to it. And they succeeded. And, you know, it was the same vein as Last of Us, where the story was done well. And I think that people forget that when it comes to single player games, and we're going to be doing a top 7 on this, if you have a good story, a fantastic story, and you execute that story well, it can be an old story. It can be a story that's been told time and time again. But if it's executed well and it's done interestingly, people will buy it, and it will go down in history as a classic, like God of War. This God of War will go down in history as one of the best games of all time. It just will. And it'll go down as a game changer.
Let's just flat out say it. For me, automatically, I mean, it's hard for me to say this because the nostalgia portion of me wants to be like, hey, it's not the best God of War. Things evolve. Things get better.
They do.
I brought it up with the Avengers Infinity War, why I rank it so high. God of War 4 is clearly it's the best God of War game, which puts it in my top three of all-time games, point blank period. So I'm with you.
Yeah, it is just fascinating. And then to not only get done with the story, and then when you're done with the story, you've completed 25-26% of the full game. You've still got so much more to explore. You've still got so much more story to delve into in there, and you can still do the favors and get the lore and go fight these bosses. And, you know, I think it's going to be really interesting when they do the sequel to it, and if they carry the save over, like they did with Mass Effect. If they carry the save over, and depending on how much you completed during the first round, will affect how the second game goes. I think that would be fascinating to me.
That would be super dope. I don't know. I mean, they have all aspects to do that, I would guess. Just because of the type of RPG focus a little bit more in this game. I doubt they do that, but there's always, a continuing nature in all the stories, even in this one. I know you felt it. So it's kind of, I can see it. I mean, mate, we'll see, man. It's just like, I want to go to Asgard. You know what I mean?
That's I do too, man. I want to go back. Can we talk real quick, too, about that final scene once you go back to the cabin? How dope was that final scene?
That's what you read my mind. You read my mind. It's funny. How many games are you playing? It's just like I get a text message from you, man. Like, did you go home? Did you go to sleep? Did you go home?
I was like, did you go back? Please go back. Go back to the cabin. You can play the game after you go back to the cabin. Go back to the cabin. You got to see this. I love how it shows to 5 years later. It was so perfect. And you don't even need to be told who it is. Just shows up. You see the hammer. You see Mjolnir. And you know the reason he's coming after you is you killed his sons. Because you done pissed Thor off. And that was pretty badass. I mean, overall, though, it's this game's, for me, is going to be one that I time and time come back to again and again and play over and over again. I mean, this is going to be the first game in a long time that I'm going to look forward to actually platinuming. I want to platinum this game.
That's been a consensus for me. Like, gamers that have fucked with this game, it's very rare. I'm not a completionist like that. Normally,
me neither.
I beat the game. I don't have to go through all of that. It's on to the next game. I want to play something else. And I'm more of a, you know, we talk about it. Like, let's build up and collector. You know, we want to collect stuff. This is the first game in a long time where I'm like, I'm going to sit down and just, I want to beat the whole game. Like, however it takes. I want to platinum the game. And I've been seeing, like, my girl wants to platinum the game. You know, Heike at work, she was talking about it. She was talking about her dude just platinum the game. And you're head on the nail with that, man. So I even see, you know, I see Bill on there a lot. I see Will. Yeah. I see some folks. I put my homeboy Mike on it. And it's just a great game, objectively. Fuck it. Like, I don't care. If you have a problem with it, generally that's going to be a you problem. Sorry. You don't like nice shit, in my opinion.
You don't like good stuff. If you don't like this, you don't like good shit. You probably play the My Little Pony game and watch the movie. I'm just saying.
That's what I was about to say. You probably play the Japanese pelican dating simulation or whatever.
Pelican dating. That's what we need next. A pelican dating simulation. All right. That's what I'm saying. That's been the first segment this week. If you agree or disagree with our opinions, we want you to hit us up on email. skipthetutorialpodcast@gmail.com. But we're going to be back with the news and discussing some mighty interesting stuff that's gone down, and not necessarily the gaming industry, but it's something that affects all of us as a people. All right, we'll be back.
Yep.
Hey, welcome back to Skip the Tutorial, where we're talking about the news. We got the news rolling in for you guys.
News, news, news.
News, news. Cue the anchor man. Cue the Anchorman. That's what we say.
Hey, man, that's what I nicknamed my new little whip because it's burgundy.
That's perfect, dude. I can't wait to see it, man. I cannot wait to see it.
Channel 4 News with 5-time Emmy Award-winning anchor Ron Burgundy. Cham Kine, sports. Rick Tamlin, weather. And your reporter in the field, Brian Fantana. It's Channel 4 News at 6 o'clock.
Hey, man, I'm around this motherfucker looking like...
Somebody's going to throw a burrito. Oh, man. All right, so the first part of the news segment we got up, State of Decay 2, PC beta signups are going on now. If you're a fan of State of Decay, I know it's a zombie game. I hate to say it, I've always wanted to play it, but I've never played it, Todd. I just never have. It's got a lot of fans, though.
Yeah, I never played it either. You know, zombie games, they can be kind of fun, but, you know, they don't really have a shelf life for me. This one I kind of found interesting. I heard something, and I didn't really dig into it too much about it's already having issues, and it's supposed to be, like, one of the more staple games. I remember when they brought it up at E3, it looked pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, people have a chance to sign up and get the beta and see how that works out. I think I might actually try that. I don't know. Being I don't have an Xbox since it's coming to PC.
Yeah, you could do it. Yeah, you probably should be able to do it through the Omen. Yeah, zombie games for me, dude, like, you hit on a good point, Todd. Like, just from my personal perspective, zombie games have never really been a big deal for me. There's very few that I run through. I'm looking forward to the one that's coming out in June or July. What is that one called? Do you remember what that one's called?
The one. I think it's a PS4 exclusive, too.
Yeah, it's going to be a PS4 exclusive. It looks good, though. It looks
damn, man. The one with the zombie bear.
Yeah, it's got the zombie bear, and, like, he snaps that one dude's neck, and it just, you hear that crunch in the trailer. I'll find it later. It looks good, though. I mean, I've played through, like, games like Deadlight and, you know, Dying Light 2 for the PS4 and Dead Island. You remember Dead Island?
Yeah, that's I played a little bit of that.
I just never finished those types of games, not generally speaking. State of Decay 2, I may pick up, though. I may pick up the beta, at least. Give that a good college trial. Give it a good college trial.
Yeah, I mean... It looked like it may have something to offer. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I thought, you know, with you being the Xbox One champion of the podcast, like, maybe.
I want that title, you know, now. I want that trophy that says Xbox One champion. For what? I don't know.
that needs to happen. We need to make that work. You know what I'm saying?
Anybody out there who listens to this show, if you make trophies for a living, make me an Xbox One champion trophy. That's all I want.
Yeah, we'll support you. We'll put you out there. We'll give you a shout out, whatever you need. You know what I'm saying? Make that happen. You know, I really can't find it. Like, I actually found an image of it, and I, man, it's all the dopeness that flows through me.
Yes.
I cannot. Yes. Days gone.
Days gone, dude.
That's the zombie game that I know me and you will get into. For facts.
Dude, one of the top Google searches to try to find Days Gone is zombie bear game.
See? Everybody's like, it got a zombie bear, man. It's a damn bear.
There's a zombie bear. It's on fire. How can you not? How can you not like that?
I don't know. What is it about fucking bears? Far Cry 5 has a bear named Cheeseburger with diabetes.
That's my favorite bear.
Maybe it's our spirit animal.
We're gonna have to do a top 7 favorite bears in video games soon.
All right. State of Decay 2.
Not gonna have bears in it, but they already off my list.
Yep. No. Never know.
You know what? If they've got bears, I'm signing up. If they don't have bears, I'm not into it. All right. Next piece of news. Nintendo's new president, Shuntaro Furukawa, the new president of Nintendo, told the told the Nikkei, it's a Japanese newspaper, I think. I'm really trying to pronounce these things.
No, you're doing
working.
Great. I thought you said Shintaro Horikawa. Then I said Furukawa.
Yeah,
I was like, damn.
Horikawa, that's an awful name. It sounds like a great name for a certain venue that serves certain things.
Now introducing, next on stage, a Horikawa.
A Horikawa. I don't even want to know what that is. I don't know. If we're making fun of somebody on the accident, oh well. Get over it.
Nah, man, no disrespect intended, bro. I'm sorry. If your name is a Horikawa, look,
yeah, no disrespect.
I had a weird last name. I had a weird last name. I grew up. You had a it builds character.
It does.
All right.
It does.
But anyway,
I've got three first names. I've got three first names. How do you think I feel about that? I get called all sorts of things.
That's true. William.
Yeah. I've been called William. I've been called Billy. I've been called Dan. One guy called me Brad. I don't understand that. Just couldn't pronounce my name, I guess. But yeah, Shintaro Furukawa, the new president of Nintendo, told the Nikkei that one of his plans to taking Nintendo in the future is to pursue mobile gaming with more vigor, aiming to build it into a billion-dollar business. I don't know how I feel about this. There's been a few Nintendo mobile games. I've tried all of them. Todd, have you played any of the Nintendo mobile stuff?
Man, you know the only thing I think about when you say Nintendo is how I'm neglecting my Switch.
Me too.
That's pretty much it. You know, Nintendo's cool. I love my Switch. I need to start fucking with it more. As far as anything mobile related, I've been shying away from that a lot. That's why I went and purchased the Switch as a gamer. I kind of, I don't really fuck with it. They're going to make $1 billion, though. They're going to make $1 billion off of this.
They will. I mean, it depends on, they did Super Mario Run, which I did not really care for. I thought it was interesting.
How much was it? Was it like $5.99?
It was $10 to start.
That's what
and
it was.
I think it actually dropped down to $5.99 or $4.99. It dropped in price. They've done that. They've done the Super Mario game. They've done the Fire Emblem game, which I tried and did not care for. I like Fire Emblem. I just did not really give a crap about this version of it, where it's just essentially... The Fire Emblem game is the definition of microtransactions, which cell phone games are. That's how they make their money, is through microtransactions. You can't make a cell phone game and not expect to make your money through having people purchase stuff. And then they didn't do Pokemon Go. That was actually Game Freak and Niantic. But they also did the Animal Crossing game, which I've talked about. I played that one for a while, and I did not care for the Animal Crossing version of that. So I don't know what they'd really do. I mean, unless they're planning on bringing Luigi. You know what? They bring a Luigi mobile game, and it's fire. I'll respect that. That's what I want. Luigi mobile game.
I'm going to be flat out honest, man, as usual. There's definitely a market out there for mobile gaming. I understand the corporate viewpoint on it. I mean, it is something that needs to be on the market. Just me personally, as much money as I spend on like having a Switch, having other systems and, you know, like just whatever, I'm not paying. They'll have to come out with something so great that I just have to have it for me to even think about purchasing any games on mobile right now.
Yeah.
Like I have my Castle Clash runs or Crash whatever. And then like I just haven't been drawn to it. You know what I mean? Like, that's it. It's not a knock. I don't see this tipping the scales for me to do it. Like I'm waiting on, I got my backlog stuff, bro. And I need you to fact check me. I need you to find this out because I know this is you. But I heard something about Nintendo Switches being hackable like the original ones.
Really? The first model versions? Let me see.
First model versions. Like, I know this is kind of on the fly, but...
Oh, Lord, Nintendo Switch hack tutorial. Yep, it's out there.
See what I'm saying? So, not to encourage anybody to do anything they ain't supposed to do, whatever, but, like, okay, let's... Random shout out. If somebody is looking for a relatively brand new Nintendo Switch with games and everything else, I know somebody right now trying to let one go for 200 flat. If nobody responds, I'm going to probably buy that hoe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So
I got an X Switch, and it's the first you know, year, the first version before they upgrade it, and I'm going to figure it out. But I might just hack that one. Like, you know what I'm saying? In case something goes right, I can have my backup one. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to give anybody that's listening an opportunity out there first. If you're really, truly interested, you know what I'm saying, go ahead and get at us on the Facebook, skip the tutorial, the Instagram, skip the tutorial pod, the Twitter. What's the Twitter?
It's at STT underscore pod.
STT Synergy. And just let us know if you want a Switch. It's going to be a solid little deal, 200 flat. I think the game that's with it is like Splatoon or something. You know what I mean? But it's Splatoon's in great condition.
Fun. Splatoon's fun, yeah. If you like multiplayer stuff.
Sorry about the sidebar.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I was going to say about mobile games too is they're just so casual. Most mobile games are just such a casual experience that they never entice me into anything but installing them, playing them for an hour, and then uninstalling them immediately. I mean, there was a weird little run where I was addicted to those tapping games where you got to tap the screen to attack the enemy, and then you just start building up stuff where the dust, it just taps for you. And outside of that, though, man, there's just been nothing. I mean, I played Pokemon Go for a while like everybody else.
Man, you know what I'm addicted to besides my Switch that's mobile? Another reason why I think I'm just so over the fucking, you know, on the cell phone, especially Play For It. It didn't pay for it. It has to be a free game. It's my Omen. Like, I done turned into like a backpacker a little bit because I don't like to leave my Omen alone.
No, man, I take it into the living room with me. I go to house parties with it. I just bring my Omen with me.
You know, I nicknamed it Killmonger, right, since I got the decal on it.
Dude, that is so awesome. That is the best. I'm going to watch that. Oh, they finally got HD, full HD out of Black Panther.
Dope.
Yeah.
Dope.
So I've got to rewatch Black Panther soon. Next piece of news, Evil Dead Virtual Nightmare is set to come to the Oculus standalone. You know me, Todd. You know I'm a big horror fan. I love my horror movies. I love Evil Dead so much. They canceled it on Stars, Ash vs. the Evil Dead.
I heard he confirmed it. I heard he confirmed it. Like, it's time to go on to, you know, do some different shit, so.
Yeah, he's retiring his Ash character, which, you know, I can't fault him. I can't fault him. He's been playing that same character for 35 years. I can't fault that. I know it'll be missed, but you got the Virtual Nightmare that's coming to the Oculus standalone, which I've heard some decent things about this little Oculus standalone, which is just a standalone virtual reality set at a pretty fair price point. People are talking about it. I mean, it's going to have its own market. It's got its own controls. You don't need to set up cameras for depth. I think that's pretty cool that Oculus is moving towards that, because virtual reality is becoming interesting. I'm actually, one thing I'm about to do with virtual reality, and my grandfather doesn't listen to this show, so I can tell it. You know, he's getting older. He's lost some mobility, right? But he likes to fish. So I'm going to buy him a PS4, and I'm going to buy him the PS4 virtual reality thing. I'm going to buy him those fishing games that are for it.
That's dope, man.
I think he'll like that, man. Like, just
that's dope, bro.
Think about what we can do for people who lost mobility, the adventures they can have. But that's what gaming's so important for. That's where the key comes in, is having adventures, man, and just enjoying those times and, you know, finding a place where you can let go of who you are or the struggles that you're going through at the time. And you can just be that person. You can be somebody else in the game. You can be Kratos. You can be Kratos and throw axes.
Now, VR, man, I'm getting more and more excited about. I was waiting on the technology to get to the point where it was a worthwhile investment for me. And the PlayStation, the PSVR, I've heard good things from just human beings with a certain kind of perspective that they'll, you know, my homeboy from New York got it and he loves it and he doesn't love anything. So it excites me, man. So VR in general, it'll be time. I'm still going to give it a little bit more time. I might wait till Christmas season before I like dive into it. But I think it's right about at their point where we might as well get on deck with the VR. So I'm excited to hear. I know you would love some shit like this. And like you said, with your grandfather, that's crazy, bro. That's dope. Like, that's true. Like, when we get older, that gives like us hope. Like, if something was to go awry, it's like, you know what? Fuck it. Get that man a VR and he can go fishing all goddamn day. That's dope, bro.
That's it, man. That's it. I mean, he's going to go fishing in the Final Fantasy universe, so I got to warn him before he goes
in. Digital titties.
So much. His wife's going to walk in there and be like, what are you doing? You've been on this thing for hours. Nothing. And it's just him playing with the mechanic from Final Fantasy 15. Just nonstop. Man, I'm going to send you an image of that later. Not of my grandfather playing with her. But... Hold
okay,
on.
Okay, now we're to a dark place. It's a dark place.
All right, moving on.
Spacey. Putting the pudding pops.
Putting in the pudding pops.
What are you talking about?
Oh, Lord. Putting the pills in the pudding pops. Oh, man. Ghostad 3, Pudding Pops Revenge.
Man.
Oh, man. Dude, I want a Ghostad team up with... With the Kevin Spacey, and for good measure, putting in the Kool-Aid.
What if Kevin Spacey and Bill Cosby, who else, man, and Tiger's Blood did a movie?
Charlie Sheen. Oh my God. Oh, that would be. I'd watch it. I would honestly watch it. Louis C.K. has to write it too. He has to write it and be in it. That would be the most disgusting thing ever.
I don't know how we...
How did we get here?
How do we get on these subs? How do we get...
We don't know.
Anyway, so...
All right, anyway.
Red Dead Redemption 2 has a new trailer.
Yes, Red Dead Redemption 2 has a third and, I think, final trailer, if I'm not mistaken, which just gets me so excited for Red Dead. This is ridiculous looking right now. It's not only got a new trailer, there's a lot of information coming out from it. IGN's had a preview of the game itself. There's going to be some multiplayer elements that I find really fascinating, where you can create your own gang, your own outlaw gang, which I think is badass. They're actually going to encourage it because it's going to bring in more dynamic story choices. But Todd, I want to ask you, you've watched the trailer for Red Dead 2. What are your thoughts, my friend?
Oh, man. I think, what is it, come out in October?
Yeah.
Can't come. This is too far away.
I agree.
Those will be the next two big games. I think for me, the big games that I got to have is Spider-Man, Red Dead Redemption 2. It looks fucking amazing, honestly. It's Rockstar at its finest, it looks like. It doesn't seem to disappoint. I'm glad it didn't conflict with my God of Warness, and it's enough time to fully... immerse into my God of War and have a long time to ride that out and flesh that out and hopefully platinum it. But that's you know how I feel, man.
Yeah.
Red Dead Redemption is the only game that has a chance to win Game of the Year. Red Dead Redemption, that's great and historically great. I just referenced it and said God of War 4 is one of my top three favorite games ever, just for me personally. Fuck it, right?
Yeah.
Game of the Year could still be won by Red Dead Redemption. Easily. And I got that feeling after seeing the trailer. Like, they... Woo! Just the details in the revolver. You know what I'm saying? In the trailer. And then the history of the story, you playing Red Dead Redemption now, so you already know what time it is with that. And it also has that kind of... It's what, the third game in the series? Or the fourth one?
It's the third game. Third game.
So... That's just the third game, right? And we're not even including the DLC from Red Dead Redemption, the original one. So really, you could say maybe the fourth game just with the DLC.
Well, because that story in the DLC was still an 8-hour story.
Yeah, it was a fleshed out zombie fun fucking story. And it's like, how'd you bring zombies into that? Now, that was a good zombie story.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, I'm excited, bro. It's just, I mean, the multiplayer aspects in it, that could be crazy. And I mean, that's kind of... what I want to hear from you. Like, what do you feel about that? Because are you fresh playing Red Dead Redemption right now? I haven't been able to play it in years. So what's your perspective when you saw it?
It is everything that I wanted it to be. It's Red Dead. It's back. It's a new generation. It looks freaking beautiful. It looks like they're focusing more on the multiplayer interaction stuff. But the storyline I've heard is still going to be that Rockstar storyline. They do that every single time. They don't get enough credit for the stories they tell. They just don't. GTA 5 story. We'll talk about more GTA later on in our top 7. Hint, hint. But it's beautiful. it is absolutely stunning that they're going this route. And the fact that you are focusing more on building your gang at times with the multiplayer interaction tells me there's going to be something in this game that I've wanted from Red Dead for a long time. Train robberies, train robberies, train robberies. I want to rob a train. That's what I want to do. I want to heist and rob a train with my friends online. Nothing wrong with that. That being said, it is by far, like you said, it has got a chance to win Game of the Year just based off the look alone, just based off of how beautiful that game is. If it's anything like the trailer makes it out to be when it comes out, it's going to be hard to beat. That being said, God of War still broke boundaries. So we're going to find out. We're going to find out in October. And I know when it comes out, me and you both are going to get on that thing. Well, you know we're going to have to try the multiplayer.
Get ready!
Yeah!
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. Look, we're going to be in the gang. It's the STT gang tribe.
Yeah.
In fact, we're trying to build up. I want to see how many people can be in the gang.
Let's do it.
If the gang can be, you know, interchangeable. If you can go ahead and get you a whole crew together where,
mm-hmm.
like, we might have a STT posse. Where, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's how big these types of games are. And even if it doesn't win, like, Game of the Year, it's still going to be probably one of my favorite games, like, for sure. It's going to be on a ridiculous level. You know, Rockstar, come on now.
They just
it
don't
looks
sell.
Like they're doing it. Yeah, they're doing the same thing they did with the previous Red Dead. Grand Theft Auto was great and is great in its own way, and Red Dead Redemption just, in certain ways, kind of brings it up a notch as far as graphically and scope. It's like they play around in it. In a different, just on a different level with Red Dead. Not to knock Grand Theft, but it's just two types of, you know, different experiences. But Red Dead, it's great.
And I want a moment in Red Dead Redemption 2, and I know that we've talked about this with Red Dead 1, but the moment that the game really just, it made me realize how great it was this little moment where you first ride into Mexico. And that music starts playing. It's the only real song in the game. You've got the background music that's playing, but this has full-on lyrics. It's telling your story. And, you know, if they're going to do an actual Western with Red Dead, I want it to be almost like the Wild Bunch, man. I just want to get in there. I want to have some fun with my friends, with my STT tribe. And just, if it's anything like, you know, the trailer makes it out to be, this is going to be an epic game. This is going to be one of these.
It does start to sound like STD when we say STT a lot.
I know.
But you know what I'm saying? It's still dope.
It still is.
It is what it is.
I'm going to say this flat out, Todd. 2018's been a hell of a year for games already, and it's freaking May. And we've got 7 months to go in the year, and we've got Spider-Man and Red Dead 2 coming out. This is a good year for games. This is a very good
man.
Year
for it's a good time to be alive, man. It's a good time. And just to revisit it, man, it's a good time to be on this podcast, man. I'm just thankful for the people that's still listening and for you. And, you know, it's a good year, man, in those aspects with all the dumb shit going on, which we'll talk about. We have to have a dumb shit conversation today.
Yeah, we've got to. We got to hit this. But one piece of news left. PUBG. You keep trying, PUBG. You keep trying. And I give you respect for trying as hard as you do. But Fortnite is digging your grave, and you're not helping by digging your own grave. Sorry, PUBG fans. They had a 50-player deathmatch launch that was supposed to be 10 groups of 5 players each. It's 5 groups of 10 players each. Deathmatch is a one-time special event that they had to shut down after less than 24 hours because of server issues. I just keep coming back to PUBG, and I'm wondering, this brings back the argument for, you know, these early access games and these demo games and selling these games. And Fortnite is still free. Fortnite is still free. PUBG is not. That's just flat out how it is. And we keep hearing issue after issue with PUBG, but Fortnite is still free, and they're in Season 4. I mean, this is... And I like Fortnite quite a bit. I like it more for the people I play with. I'm not ever going to go on there and play solo. But PUBG, man, they launched with the Xbox in December. That was a screw up, and it's been kind of downhill since. I mean, do you bet? I want to take a bet here. Do you think PUBG is going to make it out of the year alive, out of 2018 live?
Number one, you know, I don't like to gamble like that. I will bet on 2K though any day, every day. I will
Fair
bet
enough.
In poker. Unfortunately though, okay, PUBG, I know you've played it, so you're gonna be more passionate about it. I never even played PUBG, right? And then Fortnite came around. I've played a little bit of Fortnite, but I, in all sincerity, I don't want to get into too much depth about it just because I haven't spent enough time with it. It's one of those games I feel like I would just have to, it would take too much time for me to get competitively good at it, where it would take a time away from other games. So, like, I don't know, man. PUBG might survive, because out of the two, even though I haven't played PUBG, just at my age and my style, I probably actually would have liked the PUBG style a little bit more, just because it seems a little bit more realistic. I mean, I would hope it wouldn't die.
Yeah.
And the only reason why I hope PUBG doesn't die is because so many people are about to try to adopt Battle Royale.
Yep.
Which it can be cool. It just seems unnecessary for a bunch of shitty reasons for people to do it. So if you got a couple of the same style games kind of competing against each other, that's just good for the market, I think. You know what I mean? And not just everybody taking on a Fortnite.
But, yeah, because
I don't know, man. It's just the way Fortnite is going. You know, it might just erase PUBG, but we'll see. I mean, I don't know. Maybe down the line I'll fuck with it.
Yeah, because they've got Black Ops 4, which is going to be multiplayer only, and it's going to have a Battle Royale mode. And, you know, once a Call of Duty starts adopting these things and doing them, they can really ruin it very quickly.
You know what's crazy, bro? Like, I started to realize more and more as we do these shows, like, I've just fallen more and more away from first-person shooters.
Me too.
It started with Destiny 1.
Yep.
After that shit happened, that was like the last big one. I would like to find a first person shooter or even a third person shooter that I'm just like, okay, I gotta get on. Fortnite seems to be the one, but I mean, I think that ship set sail for me. So
I'd like a good first person shooter, because that, I mean, that's kind of what brought me into gaming to begin with.
I'm talking that shit. Far Cry is a first person shooter. Far Cry is dope. I'll probably go back to that and fuck with the arcade maker with that. And
I was just reading something about somebody used Far Cry 5 Arcade Maker. Let me pull that up real quick, because I thought that was interesting, because we were talking about that earlier with Far Cry, and you were talking about the arcade mode and why it was so important that it get a little bit more time to develop. And it seems like people are finally starting to really delve into this Far Cry 5 map maker and make stuff. I know somebody went in and made the Evil Dead cabin, going back to Evil Dead. they made the full-on Evil Dead cabin in Far Cry 5, which I thought was really cool.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
so I'll probably go back and fuck with that. I'll probably go back and fuck with that.
Yeah, I'm ready for it. All right, time for the dumb shit conversation, because we got some dumb shit going on. It's called Ye versus the People. Oh, Kanye, what have you done? So what were the exact words? First of all, that track, Ye versus the People.
Hold on, let's backtrack all the way to how it even ties into the games.
Let's get the game out of the way.
And how it's funny. And how we just, this is one of those kind of inevitable things in the news for us, and just how we go. And it was just, and then you reminded me about the iPhone game that he put out.
Oh, yeah.
Only one.
Yeah.
And I completely forgot. And you were just like, man, you don't remember. Like, I was like, I remember it. And then you sent me the YouTube video, the only one. I was like, that motherfucker's been weird. Shit.
He's been weird for
years. It's not that complicated. Yes, he's musically a genius, in finger quotes. But this motherfucker came out with a mobile game with him riding a unicorn, and you don't understand what the fuck he's talking about. And people are actually putting any kind of any reverence in anything that he's saying, or paying attention to what he's talking about, to just a point where we sitting here arguing about it. I find hilarious.
No, I'm with you. I mean, it's like, if you go back to that and you realize just how crazy he's been for a long time, and then you listen to that track, Ye versus the People with T.I. T.I. legitimately sounded confused about what Kanye was saying on there. And I'm thinking, by the way they recorded it, that T.I. did it separately, like his response. He did a response with Kanye.
Absolutely not. Let me stop you right there.
Okay, so okay. I wanted to know the behind there.
Yeah, I checked the video out, so I'm going to give you the short version. They actually met up. He reached out to him. They ended up deciding to record. So he goes over to Kanye's compound. Kanye has like fucking.
I love how you call it a compound.
That's what it. That's this is the way it was described by T.I. himself.
I love T.I.
So he broke it down. Like, he went to the compound and he was on that talking that shit. You know what I'm saying? He was just like, he legitimately went to the compound to directly discuss it with them because, you know, T.I. in the community has become, since some of the police brutality and all this other kind of shit, somewhat of a figure or a spokesperson for the hood or just black people in general, not necessarily, you know, whatever else.
And if you want classic, go back to T.I. versus Tip or Paper Trail or any of those. If you really want
I'm serious. Is a classic album. His first album, I'm Serious, is one of the best of all two. But anyway, so he went to talk to him real quick and say, all right, like, what's going on here with the Making America Great Hat again, right? You know what I'm saying? Whoop-de-whoop-de-whoop. And Kanye started breaking them out. He was just like, my subconscious told my conscious just to do something, so I did it, and I feel like I'm free, and I can speak freely or whatever. So this turns into a three-hour conversation.
Oh,
they
no.
have not recorded a song. And then they end up at the end. He was like, man, we've been talking this long. We might as well record something. He put a beat on, and they legitimately sit right there, record it, and the next day he puts it out.
That's crazy. That's how that went. Okay.
Yep.
I was curious about that. I mean, he's, I don't know. I mean, he, the stuff that he said on TMZ with 400 years of slavery was a choice. The best part about that is the reaction that the internet had. Have you looked at Twitter on the hashtag for our slavery was a choice? Because that is the most fascinating hashtag on Twitter right now. And it's still going, and it's one of my favorite things that's happened is the internet's response to this, because it shows you that when people hear something really crazy and really ignorant, that it doesn't matter where it comes from, they will tear it down in a heartbeat, and they will poke all sorts of holes in that. But this is a very dangerous sentiment coming from Kanye himself. Even if Kanye's crazy, people still listen to this dude. People, there are legitimate hardcore Kanye West fans out there. I used to be one. I used to be a hardcore.
Well, okay, this is the thing. This is the fine line of it. And this is the last reference to the T.I. thing because it brought a different perspective. He said one thing. He was like, man, we can't lose Kanye. I was like, and it made me take a second think or a second look at it, just in the sense of like, damn, we about to lose another one. Because what he said, where his heart was coming from, is probably in his mind state, whatever it is, in the right place, but it's so extremely misinformed.
Yes.
And, you know, he's in such a bubble that he's really something that's being manipulated right now. I'm like, Kanye West is a person that you need to listen to as much about politics as you need to, especially from the black community, as people like Charles Barkley and shit. Like, you don't need to listen to these people like that. You better off listening to Charles Barkley than a Kanye West, you know what I'm saying? But the people that grapple onto that and use him as an excuse or as a valid perspective is what's more concerning.
Yes.
That's
yes.
the conversation that I think needs to be had.
I agree.
Less about Kanye himself, because that shit, it's not really funny what's happening with him, but it's like, damn, like, Kanye hurting people within his own culture and community. But, like, legitimately, I can't be more eloquent than the dude that was at TMZ that broke it down, who shouted out Baton Rouge, Louisiana represent.
That dude handled that conversation real well.
Perfect.
He said exactly what needed to be said.
He summed it up for the community. I just find it interesting as far as the people like Trump, the president, that use him like he's the worst fucking person to use as an example for anything right now.
Thank you.
Especially politically. Like, it's one thing, he might be able to make a bomb-ass beat. Like, let that be. Because I actually, honestly, Ye versus the People, I kind of like that song, but I'm a T.I. fan.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that T.I. was getting with that.
I like the beat. Cool. I like the beat.
Yeah. But as far as, like, you know, him and Donald Trump having dragon blood together or some shit like that, man, come on, bro. Like, what are we talking about?
Why is this a thing? Why
is this a thing?
It's 2018. Why is this a thing?
And this guy put out an iPhone game on the cell phone. So moral to the story is, don't support dumb shit. It'll go away.
Yes, please, please, let it go away. Just let it go away. The saddest part about it, the best part was the Twitter reaction to it. And, you know, it's, why put any validity behind it at all? Make fun of it because it's a crazy-ass statement. The sad part is he almost took Chance the Rapper with him. Because Chance is still young, and he was still, you know, he put out that tweet after the Kanye thing, and I'm glad he reversed course on that real quick, because everything that Chance represents is exactly the opposite of that tweet that he put out. But you're right, man. It's people who are going to use this as an excuse or a reason to to bolster their own crazy ideas before the people, man. And they're going to use it as an argument. And that's not an argument. Using Kanye West as an argument in anything is the definition of really misinformed, like extremely ignorant behavior. Because I'm not ever going to bring up Kanye West or cite Kanye West when I'm arguing about anything, unless it's about beat making. That's it. If it's about beat making or early 2000s classic hip hop albums, then yes, I will reference Kanye West. But when it comes to this conversation, when it comes to politics, when it comes to social issues, no, I'm just not going to do it. It's just not going
to
happen.
It's not to take away from the man catalog. You can still probably listen, you know, put some Kanye West on and some of this shit is jamming. But we've been falling off of Kanye a little bit already, and yeah, we still was like trying to hold on to him. Somebody said some shit like when he put them homeless ass clothes out and charged them for $1,000 a piece. When he did that shit, we still stuck with him. When he entered the Kardashian family and did all that other shit, we stuck with him. All of that shit, nothing. And then you go and you basically in your own mind say, okay, you so much of a genius, you just turn into just having a contrarian viewpoint.
Yep, yep.
As opposed to being really informed and trying to make a powerful statement or a stance,
yep,
then you become the enemy.
Yep, that's what and happens.
And we don't want him to become the enemy. You know what I'm saying?
No, we don't. I don't want to lose Kanye. I want to go back to College Dropout Kanye, but you know, since then his mother's died. He's married a Kardashian. It's something about those Kardashians, though. That's where I'm putting it back. I'm going to blame the Kardashians with this one. I want to tie it back to blame the Kardashians, because everybody that marries into the Kardashians families or messes with them goes a little bit crazy, just a little bit crazier than they were before. That's all I'm going to say.
Just come back like Tristan Thompson did, man. He playing pretty strong right now. But, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, you know, it ain't even about chasing trends and no shit like that. We just talk about shit that we talk about, man. But, it's just good that we can bring that up, and it even brought back a chuckle of the fact. I mean, I would be full of myself too if I had a video game on iPhone riding a motherfucking unicorn. But like that shit, I must be on some metaphysical shit. I don't have a swimming pool full of diamonds or no shit. I don't know nothing what that life is about. So I get it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Apparently, you know, I don't know if I want all of that though. If it's gonna make me, you know, grow titties and wear Making America Hate a Great Again.
Okay.
And disrespect my mothers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they got memes about your mama right now.
Oh. Yeah,
with the short crying face. I ain't trying to let my mama down like 2 Chainz.
Nah, he disrespected his mom.
Not like that.
He disrespected his grandfather's memory. Like, just all of that. I'll just flat out. Hey,
man, Red Dead Redemption, Kanye. Make a Red Dead Redemption. Shit, come on back.
Please.
Shit.
Please. Please. All right, well, that's been it for the news. We'll be back with our top 7 favorite stories in video games. Thank you for sticking with us. Hey, welcome back to Skip the Tutorial. We broke down some news for you guys. Now we're breaking down the top seven favorite story games. I'm going to call this the God of War Tribute List. The God of War Tribute List. Top 7 favorite story games according to Skip the Tutorial. So let's get this thing rolling. Let's get this thing started. Todd, what is your number 7?
Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
Boom.
Let's get to it. Let's go ahead and knock these out. There's no need. It was just a great story, man. Open world, I reference it all the time, man. Any open world game that you can have your own type of story within the story is great. And if you got Tenpenny being voiced by Samuel L. Jackson, I'm fucking with it. So for me, GTA San Andreas.
Perfect choice. GTA San Andreas almost made my list. That's why I wanted to talk about GTA. Like we said, Rockstar, always killing it. Always killing it. My number 7 is a PC game, and I think it's on PS4 as well. Hotline Miami. What a mind trip. What a mind trip. What a great little isometric game where you are playing a character trying to figure out exactly who the men in the mask were and what's going on and why you're being forced to kill mob bosses. It's wonderfully done. All the stories told through really clever exposition. And they do a great job with the soundtrack. One of the best soundtracks. I listened to it for days on end after that. It's a great little game. If you want to go pick it up now, Hotline Miami, I believe it's on sale or it's extremely cheap at $14.99 on Steam. All right, Todd, what is your number six?
Horizon Zero Dawn. Boom. Not only before God of War was it graphically one of my favorite games easily, the story was super dope to me as far as like the post-apocalyptic take on the world and how, you know, just humanity with its type of nature culturally specifically can, you know, be cannibalistic and, well, not even culturally specifically, just internationally, you know, we could be our own doom. That was dope. And then ultimately you have fucking machine dinosaurs, man, you riding around. So yeah, Horizon Zero Dawn. Lots of fun with that story. It was cool.
And Grass Under the Snow. Can't mention it without mentioning Grass Under the Snow.
Yes.
My number six will be no surprise to anybody who has been listening to this show for a while. It is Final Fantasy VI. One of the greatest stories ever told in a video game, Final Fantasy VI. Coolest part about this story is the bad guy actually completes his plan halfway through the game. Halfway through the game, the bad guy finishes his plan. Then you have to actually go back and figure out better ways to defeat him. You've got multiple parties. You've got an opera in it. That's an interesting little part. You've got a giant squid you've got to face. And every character, which is so cool, every character has their own little story in this game that you can follow through on. And some characters aren't even discoverable, which is kind of a beautiful thing. They did a really great job with this one. It's my favorite Final Fantasy, and if anybody's looking to play it, they've got a great cell phone version out. Todd, what is your number five?
My number five is gonna be BioShock. Just cause
BioShock.
I mean, yeah, the first BioShock. I know you like the later version, but BioShock. I never really fell in love with Fallout, which I'm embarrassed to say. I know that, you know, that's just a classic game. But as far as the similar kind of vibe of kind of coming from a weird place and going into even a weirder place, BioShock always stuck with me, man. So with the big daddies, it was something about the big daddies and the little girls and just the actual stories. It reminded me of old Hitchcock kind of feel, you know what I'm saying, in a video game. So
absolutely
BioShock.
Well, also we talked about this earlier in the show, but you know, I don't take a lot of time to either read lore or listen to tapes, but anytime I found a tape in BioShock, I sure as hell was listening to it. I wanted to know exactly what was going on. It's got one of the greatest setups of all time. My number five, we've talked about this quite a bit these last few weeks, is God of War. God of War, God of War, God of War. It's my fifth favorite story of all time. It's extremely well done. I don't know if I want to incorporate the entire series of God of War into this choice, but I could because the journey of Kratos is by far one of the most interesting character development journeys of all time. You start with the rage and you kind of move on and just kind of grow up and you get a little bit different and, you know, you get a little bit more, a little bit tamer in later games until it's needed. But God of War, the latest one, is by far one of the best stories. It's told in one of the most clever ways. It's got the most impact for me, emotionally speaking. That game just about wrecked me. So my number five is God of War. What's your number four?
Red Dead Redemption. I mean, we already discussed it kind of with GTA. San Andreas, yes, Rockstar makes it on my list twice. Yes. You know, I mean, we already referenced it. It's moments like when you head into the new town in Mexico and you meet, oh boy, I already forgot his name. Mine's getting bad. But we already discussed it earlier. You know what I'm saying? That game, just the whole storyline, the DLC, I enjoyed it. And the game within the game of making your own choices, going and kill cougars if you want, doing whatever you want to do, playing card games.
Absolutely.
Red Dead Redemption, definitely on the list.
Anytime I come across a poker game in Red Dead, I always stop and play it. And it's the dialogue in the poker game that always cracks me up, too. It's the dialogue. Sometimes dudes will sit at the table and talk about you right in front of you. It's pretty insane. My number four is a game that came out a couple of years ago. It's got a really niche following to it, but I think it's one of the best stories. And again, the internet has ruined a great game by making things, slightly pornographic from the game that didn't deserve it. But my number four is Undertale. Undertale, Undertale, Undertale. It's a beautiful, fun adventure game, and slash RPG, where the whole point of the game is not to kill anything. That's the whole point of the game, is not to kill anything. It's to negotiate battles without having to do it. And it's told in such a way that, you know, it's done through dialogue, but those characters truly come to life. And the creator of the game did a fantastic job of fleshing out the necessary parts of a good story in order to deliver an emotionally riveting game that just absolutely is stunning. If you get a chance, I recommend playing the PC version. It's $10 right now on Steam, and it's worth every penny of that. I'd pay $59.99 for it, just being real honest. What's your number three, Todd?
Witcher 3.
Witcher.
Because, yeah, it's still with the open world theme. Okay, so the story within the story, and it's got some of the best side missions in any game that I've ever played, as far as just not feeling like there was no need for them, or they're just bothersome, you know, annoyances that you have to complete. So yeah, The Witcher 3, from beginning to end, I was in that whole, you know, that whole world. And like, it was like side missions with the weird ghost baby, or the three, or like the main story missions with the witches. They just stuck with me. It was like grits in the morning. So The Witcher 3 definitely had to be on my list high up.
That should have been the tagline, like grits in the morning. That's perfect. My number three is Spec Ops The Line. That's a mind-blowing game.
Great choice.
From beginning to end, you think it would just be a traditional, you know, army adventure, third-person shooting game. Great cover system, starts out that way. But as the story develops, you realize the psychosis behind it and the main character. And when you finally get to the end of it, it's one of these moments where you watch the entire ending of the game with your jaw open, because you cannot believe what is happening and what you've been doing the entire game that you didn't realize you were doing. Spec Ops The Line, by far one of the best stories ever told. You can pick it up on sale right now on Steam. What's your number two?
You already mentioned it, but I got to mention it again. God of War 4. For me,
yep,
it's impossible for me not to put the whole stories together. I mean, it stands on its own as far as on the list for right now, and yeah, I might be a prisoner of the moment, but it's hard for me not to pay attention to the scar on his stomach and remember Zeus running him through, or just appreciating the detail of the ash of his previous family still on his skin, or, you know, just the first time I saw the chains of Olympus again, and it has to be on my list because it's emotionally just it gave me that feeling. You said it earlier. Avengers came out, and this came out. We've been waiting on Avengers for 10 years, and I never thought this day would come with God of War. And it was just a moment I was like, damn, I'm like emotionally drained from this.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? It's not even so much just the whole father-son aspect, which could be cool, kind of cool, but it's just the whole story that goes along with it as a gamer. So God of War 4, my number two.
Absolutely. My number two, you have mentioned it as well already. It's BioShock, the first BioShock. I bought my 360 on the way back from Oklahoma Christmas. I had a little cash in me. I was working a job for $9 an hour. Didn't have a lot of money to spend. But I got a free game via buying the 360. And they did not stop recommending at the GameStop to go ahead and pick up BioShock. Picked up BioShock, started playing it. It was my first introduction to the new generation of gaming at that time. And I will say this, I go through peaks and valleys, but BioShock is the game that actually brought me back into gaming hardcore. And this was some time ago, and I have not stopped loving the BioShock series ever since. I just picked up the BioShock Definitive Collection. I can't wait to tear into it again, see what it looks like on the Xbox, just these HD remasters they've got out, and everything about that game, from the beginning to the end, to the middle part where you actually kill Andrew Ryan, and just, you know, the classic line, you know, a man chooses, a slave obeys. That was just, oh, when you get to that
Kanye
part. Kanye.
Maybe you need... No. That's just fucking ridiculous. But that's what's up, bro. You know, love the BioShock.
Me too, man. What's your number one?
Mass Effect 2, man. It's going to be hard to knock that one off of me. Yeah. I still am upset, 7 years later, about killing Rex.
Yep.
I haven't had a game like that. You know, when there's so many different stories that could come from it. You know, talking about video game porn and stuff. Like, I remember that being a part of the whole series. But now, nah, Mass Effect 2, man, for sure. Story wise, it's my number one still, man. Just easily. Yeah. That game was super, super duper fire level dopeness as far as just story driven game, RPG aspect, action RPG team aspects, the different types of teams. I'm sorry, Rex. I'm still sorry. And that carries along, you know what I'm saying, through the whole series. So that's my number one story. Favorite story.
Yes, sir. My number one is The Last of Us.
Do it.
It is. I can't move past The Last of Us. In fact, this is a rare time where somebody they made reference after The Last of Us came out of it being turned into a film. And my first question was why. It was perfect just the way it was. I don't need a movie version of it. I've lived through this story. I've played through this story. And I'll sum it all up with just that one last sequence where you get to see the giraffes right before you actually reach the Firefly group. And you actually see those giraffes and you have that little moment before you realize what Joel is going to do. And it's a very complicated game too, because the ending, if you haven't played it, I'm going to spoil it for you now. But the ending of it is Joel does not give her a choice. And I think that that's pretty fascinating that she doesn't get in the choice of actually saving everybody's lives and being turned into essentially using her brain and her blood after she's post-mortem to be turned into a antibody for the disease that's going around. I love that game. It's a complicated game. I'm looking forward to the sequel. Do you have any ones that made your also run list here?
Not really. Not on this one. I mean, it's plenty of them. You know what I'm saying? A Last of Us, of course, would be on there. But you know, actually, I didn't even this time go around. I didn't write any extra ones down. But I mean, Last of Us automatically came to my mind. It's the synergy, bro.
Yeah,
it's the synergy. Like, I knew you were gonna hit that up.
Yeah.
Like maybe the Metal Gear series games, a couple of Metal Gear games. I can't think of one. Phantom Pain, maybe. Was pretty dope.
Metal Gear's on mine. KOTAR, Knights of the Old Republic, Nier Automata, Persona 5, Half-Life, Red Dead Redemption, GTA San Andreas, Witcher 3, Silent Hill 2, all of those. GTA San Andreas. If you haven't played it, go pick it up. That's a great game. That's a fantastic game. If you like old school stuff, that's a great game.
I did like the Call of Duty story too.
Modern Warfare, even
getting rid of it, because Modern Warfare was dope.
That was
my favorite Call of Duty. That's the last Call of Duty I really actually enjoyed.
Very cinematic, extremely cinematic. I like Modern Warfare.
It's weird they're getting rid of it,
too.
Man. Yeah, getting rid of it. Anyway, yep.
Yeah, well, that's been this week's edition of Skip the Tutorial. You can find us at STT_pod on Twitter. You can find us at skipthetutorialpodcast@gmail.com. Email us if you agree or disagree with our opinions. Find us at facebook.com/skipthetutorialpodcast. You can find us at Twitter at skipthetutorialpod. Hit us up. Let us know. We give a gift card away. We'll be announcing this month's winner next week. So tune in next week to see who won this month's gift card. And as we always do, before we sign off, stay humble.
Stay humble, folks. Yeah.